Good morning, Peter.
Hello.
That's an interesting art display behind you.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Some old CPU boards, and then this is the sticker of stickers that was on my last laptop.
The sticker of stickers. I like it.
Hello, Sean. Hello,
Oh, good
Peter.
morning.
Hello. Hey guys.
Morning, I guess.
Good
Morning.
morning.
Mark also may join. I'm not sure, but let's give it a 1 minute more minute. Mark Wrestler. I just pinged him,
Peter, are you also on the East Coast?
yes.
Okay,
Yep,
Mark's
just
here.
starting
So
late
let's
today.
get started.
I think, Sean, the few topics you wanted to talk about with the existing cost overview, I have Alexei here who will present. He made it a deck to go over the cost overview. And thank you, Alexei, for doing that. And then we'll just talk about, what you guys discussed over the Tri-Council meeting in the Wolfcon. And then I have another topic. Maybe we want to talk about future cost and if there is anything that we need to add to the existing cost, for future, upcoming stuff, et cetera. So that will be our agenda. Is there anything else I'm missing? Sure, go ahead, Sean.
I'd like us to at least start to consider sort of timing of this as it relates to the Folio community and the treasurer. I reached out to the treasurer to see like their timeline. So seemed like last year we were kind of scrambling to get our numbers
Right.
to the treasurer. So if we could sort of calendar that out. That's, I think, helpful to you, helpful to the treasurer. So, if we
Right.
could add that to the agenda as well. Thanks.
Sure. Yeah.
I've
All right.
prepared
So.
a straw man for the activity calendar to get through the budgeting for fiscal year 27, and we could go through that.
Excellent.
All right, let's start with the existing overview. So, Alexei, do you mind presenting, please?
Sure. Okay. Hope you can see my screen now.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. So our regular spending is around 26K. So as you can see here, it's what we captured on Monday this week. Yeah, so it's forecast for October, and from last few months, we are still under the budget, under the 30K, which were considered initially as our threshold. Yeah, so, but I guess, yeah, we also have some areas for improvement. And all these costs are distributed between two, I can say, major buckets. First one is general spendings. Here on this right part, right? So, and next one is related to usage of rancher environments. So development environments, testing environments, yeah, for different purposes. So it's if in general we can distribute it into two such parts. Thank you, Peter, first of all, for your preparation. It was really helpful. First part is our general part, where we've got different services introduced here. First of all, it's related to Jenkins usage. Yeah, here you can see it's more than 50% of our spendings are related to Jenkins. Also, we've got different environments like a snapshot, one, snapshot two, follow registry, demo environments, a recap proof of POC environments, our Nexus repository, and other different services. So all these are here. It's about like general services. Peter, if you want to chime in to comment, yeah, feel free to do it.
No, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so and here's just the same picture, yeah, just in table to make sure that it's just also outlined correctly.
I think this is just the compute cost.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, I'm not sure, Alexei. I these aren't the numbers that were in my spreadsheet.
Yeah, so I took a percentage, right? So this percentage and distributed between different, like say, different services, different tools, right? So what has been produced? Yeah, so maybe we can have some differentiation, but in general, I hope it's close to reality.
Okay. I'm not sure, but okay. Keep going.
Okay.
Basically, if I may rephrase it to make sure I understood correctly. So you looked at the EC2 cost, compute costs, right? And then you looked at the shared services and you applied certain percentages to calculate total.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
It's probably worth double checking just to make sure that we're accurately representing it and that we're on the same page across the board. Generally speaking, I mean, I think,
mm-hmm.
I think it would be helpful to tag resources accordingly and standardize on how we do cost allocation based on the usage. So that may be one of the action items for us going forward.
Yeah, great comments. Thank you, Mark. So and all the services are managed by Follow DevOps team. And next huge bucket, it's a little bit more than 50% of our general costs is related to usage of our Rancher environments. Yeah, because we've got plenty of teams who are focused on it. So here you can see that we've got like 35% allocated for test environments. Here under this bucket, we've got our sprint testing environment, which with Buckfest dataset with RDS usage. We've got a different environment for running Karate and Cypress tests, our quality gate as well. So all is allocated here. Development environments. Under development environments, we've got 21 and environment allocated to our development teams. We've got a Rika snapshot. Also, all this, what I mentioned, it's built with Rika platform. So this Perf environment, testing, development environments, and a Rika snapshot. Yeah, so, and we still have some bunch of environments which just and clusters, three clusters which are running with Akavi platform. So we decided to keep it running. Yeah, we reduced resources as much as we can. So maybe, for example, Akavi Perf will be shut down soon. Yeah, so we also destroyed some unused namespaces within Akavi development cluster. Yeah, so and I hope, yeah, so it will save some costs for us. But still, as soon as Ramsan's still under support. We just want to make sure that we'll have some possibility to test some critical fixes or troubleshoot. That's why we are still keep running a copy based Rancher environments.
Like Lexi, can I?
Sure.
You can go. Please. You can go to the next chart if that. Either way, I can ask my question.
Yeah, it's also it's the same numbers, right? So just in table view.
Yeah, actually, this is more helpful to me because one of the questions that the community council often is asked is how many environments are still devoted to a copy. So when you say units, is that equal to an environment, or how
correct.
Do you? Okay,
it's equal
thank
to environment. Yeah, it's different. It's namespace within cluster. It's like equal to environment.
Great, thank you so much. This table is very helpful.
And it sounds like what Alexia is saying is that there is no active development on Ramsan's Okapi. Okay,
no.
So instead of posing these Okapi environments, we should shut them down. But if there is a bug that needs to be fixed for Ramsan's, then this environment can be brought up. Okay, it will help us save some costs. And as you can see, running Okapi environments for Ramsan's is not insignificant. It's over $4,000. No, it's slightly over $3,000 a month. So if we can save those costs, that would be great. And similarly, and that may be one of the action items. There is a Eureka snapshot here, okay? But then on the general bucket, there are also some snapshot environments, right? So I'm not sure if there is any overlap, but we should probably look into this.
Yeah, so this snapshot and snapshot 2 are running on a copy.
But which version? Is it for Ramsan's or which?
It's just master state.
And the question is why? I mean, since there is no active development on Ramsan's, why do we need to run those snapshots? That's my point. Okay.
Well, I mean, that is, it's the head of all of the, it's the head commit of all of the modules. Just happens to be running Okapi underneath, so it is what people are using to test with on Snapshot and Snapshot 2. It's not that it's not actively used. It's just the underlying
understood.
Gateway
yeah.
mechanism.
Thank you for clarification, but there is active development on Sunflower branch, right? So that's Sunflower and Trillium, right? And so both of those are running on Eureka. And so snapshots should be built for Folio running on Eureka. Now, I saw the announcement from Jeremy Huff that a group of self-hosted implementers decided that they will support Sunflower on a copy. And I think this is where Snapshot belongs then. So instead of the community paying for this, since GBV is providing the environment, that's where that Snapshot should be running. That would be my recommendation, basically. Okay, because the community is focused on providing support for the Eureka-based environment. So why are we incurring costs for maintaining a copy environments?
It's not, I mean, a snapshot environment is going to have to be run. So
we've
it's
got
not
a snapshot on Eureka.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
here
there
it is.
There is a snapshot on Eureka. So there is overlap. I mean, we can take that offline and we can, discuss it in more detail. And, perhaps I'm missing something here. But on the first glance, it seems like there is a duplication and we're paying twice for something that we shouldn't.
That's possible, yes. But the yes.
Yeah, so I guess if on community side, right? So we will have snapshot like up and running on Eureka. So I guess on rancher side, we can easily shut down this and free this cost. It's just a matter of where it should be executed and who gonna to maintain it.
Right, where well, and ultimately, from a practical standpoint, where the DNS name is pointed.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. And that could be one of the things to be reviewed with the technical council because it touches upon the development process, right? Development and testing process. And so that may be reviewed within the technical council. You know, they'll make a decision and then it will help us reduce the cost. It seems like potentially we can reduce costs about 5K a month. I'm bundling into that the shutdown of Remsen's Okapi development environments, plus these last three line items, plus snapshot from the other chart, plus the Eureka POC from the other chart. So these could be potential big savings for us.
So, Alexei, these paused environments, why haven't we shut it down for the Okapi dev and
I
Okapi
guess,
ETF?
yeah, we still need to have some resources allocated even for post environments because we are not able to fully, even for post cluster, we need to allocate, I guess, if my memory serves correctly, around two or maybe four, is it two instances? So it's just what we cannot reduce fully.
Well, there's probably resources like disk volumes, backups of those volumes, and things like that, that even if there's no compute being spent on these environments, there's still things like it's still consuming disk space.
Correct.
So, to Mark's point, if we do shut them down, would we free up this money? Or,
Yeah, we
that
can
sounds
save
to me
it,
like
right?
we'd still
So,
be spending storage money or move them to
so
some other.
we can save and fully destroy these clusters. Yeah, so, but if in nearest future we'll need to spin up it again. I guess it
Yeah.
will be around 1 week to like make cluster up and running. Yeah, because right now Kitfox team mostly focus on development all scripts and pipelines around Eureka. So
Right.
and we are not sure like, will we be able to properly spin up a copy cluster again. Yeah, because that's why we just want to keep even one cluster running, for example, a copy dev. With fully reduced resources as much as we can, for example, up to 500K per month.
Well, yeah, I was thinking one will be 250, right? Or 240 if you do a one environment.
We just want to keep a copy dev up and
Right.
running. Right. So, and we will
Okay.
be able to reduce the monthly cost up to 500K.
Okay.
Yeah, I think further analysis may be needed because we don't want to make these
Yeah.
decisions on the fly here, right? Is if it takes a week to bring up an environment, yeah, I mean, then it may be
It's
worth.
not about environment, it's about cluster, right? So yeah, because to add additional namespace within the cluster, it's easy. It's just, I don't know, it's a trigger one Jenkins job. But spin up the cluster can be painful.
No, I mean, basically, I think we'll need to look at the most cost-effective way to keep something around to allow us to bring the environment back up if we need to work on Remsen's bug fixes. So that's the
Okay.
problem statement, right? And then the team can figure out what would be the most cost-effective way.
Sure. So
Okay.
that's probably it from my side, yeah, for today.
Thank
Yeah,
you.
no, that's great. I will post these slides. I have these slides in the AWS Slack group so that everybody has an opportunity to look at it, and maybe we can start discussing there some of the overlaps and what do we want to do for those next steps for those overlaps and how to reduce the cost down.
And at this point, I can't help but ask Sean about what would Kropotkin say about all this?
Yeah, I know you're saying that in jest, but in seriousness, I think keeping a minimal cost for the cluster, because that will actually allow us to be more mutually beneficial across the environment, is the right tact. So that incurred cost to save the, I think, Alexei, you've used the word painful. To spin up a new environment, a new cluster, that will have a outsized benefit for the whole community, even though it's targeted, it looks like a painful cost that we're keeping and maintaining this. But we all know that there's going to be a need for something that happened with ransoms for some time. But I think that's the next agenda item, right? Is when do we envision that we can get out of this? But we don't see it right now.
And for the benefit of Alexei, Yogesh, and Peter, I'm mentioning Kropotkin because Sean has referred to him in his panel session during WolfCon.
Got it.
Which impressed me a great deal, of course.
Okay, so I guess the part I heard from Sean is a follow-up question to is when do we envision to bring down, ransom? Or I mean, it's really envision. I guess from my perspective, it will be is we are almost upgrading all our customers in community to Sunflower CSP one, and I think maybe we should give some time to that and then basically ramp down the ransom. We won't have really any ransom service packs, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe Mark or others or Alexei, you have any visibility on like what should we think about, in terms of. When does the ransom, ramps down and basically no more in community?
I guess, yeah, so we've got our support period, right? So which was announced and applied within Folio, and it's a
Right.
matter of it, yeah. So because we committed that we're gonna to produce CSPs up to this like date, right? So usually it's up to Trillium out, yeah, because we are supporting two releases. Yeah, so that's my major intent, right? So just to make sure that up to the end of support, we will be able to spin up environment to make sure that we can test some CSPs.
Yeah, just for my sake, I'm also a little bit confused about, the fiscal year, right? We talked about the budget and, 27, etc. What months are we talking about? Are we talking about the calendar year or are we talking about, June to June budget? That's a little bit confusing to me always.
Yeah, so the fiscal year is July to June.
July to June. Okay.
July to June. And what the treasurer asked me to provide, well, I asked the treasurer when they optimally would love to have some data from Kitfox and others about what AWS spend looks like is in March. I don't, I
March,
think,
okay.
yes, I think Mark has started some calendar. I haven't seen it, but but March is the line that the treasurer would love to see some projections for July on. That way the treasurer can incorporate that into their documentation and then move it through the councils to enact the budget starting in July. So to use exact dates, March of 26, this group would submit to the treasurer. Treasurer would walk that through the councils, and then the budget would be enacted for July of 26. So that'd be fiscal. Yeah. That'd be fiscal 27.
Seven.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. And when Alexei, you said Trillium, you know, I know we're still working to the date, but it's fair to say probably second quarter next year is what we're looking at Trillium. So it sounds like for the FY27, the July through June budget, we should be able to say ransom is out or Okapi ransom is gone.
It should be up to the end of fiscal year 26.
We should probably review this again.
Review this, right?
The security team was suggesting that support for ransoms ends in December, okay? Because some of the components are going out of support at the end of this calendar year, okay? So that's what they were recommending. But for all practical purposes, I think we should also, figure out how support is going to be handled by the community, okay? Because what I see is there are two scenarios. One is community officially providing support for the portfolio that is available from the community versus that of the service providers, what service providers are providing to their host of customers. Okay, and those two may not necessarily overlap. Okay, so for example, from EBSCO's perspective, EBSCO will always provide support for all of its hosted customers, no matter what version they're on. Okay, so during the transition period, meaning when we upgrade from one version of Flower release to another, EBSCO will provide support for those two versions. Once migration is completed, once all of our customers are running on one Flower version, okay, EBSCO commits to providing support for that Flower version to our customers. EBSCO will continue making contributions to the community for the other version as well, but it has to be funded. Does that make sense? I think these discussions are still happening. They're happening within technical council, product council, and community council, but that's our position. So EBSCO will continue making contributions to the community for our versions of Folio that we are no longer running, but then that work has to be funded. Okay.
Right.
So
I guess one item from that comes to mind is, for Sean, is probably we need to bring back, this discussions, decisions to this group so that we can determine the March, a kind of a budget putting together based upon these decisions, because that's what really impacts, how it's going to look like.
So for all practical purposes, we're starting with Sunflower upgrades pretty soon at the end of October.
Right.
Okay. And in my assessment, we will continue with upgrades probably through the end of March, at least. Okay. So through the end of March, EBSCO will continue to provide support for ransoms. Okay. So we will need to run these environments or have these environments available at least until the end of March. Okay. After that, that's to be seen.
Uh-oh.
Okay. If the community is able to. Go ahead.
You froze for a moment.
Oh.
And then you came back.
Oh. So I would say that through the end of March, EBSCO will continue to provide support for EMSINs. But then support for EMSINs will fall on the community and figure out how support for EMSINs will be funded.
Yeah, and
What
Yogesh.
in, how does that align with, so how does that align with what the community has said the support for the platforms are? The community has said that from the community's perspective, the officially supported version is current release, past release, and then one release past that. Is that what we've said?
That doesn't change it. So let's say that sometime in April there is a P1 functional bug in RemSense. Okay, if the community wants to officially support it, community needs to fund bug fixing. That's fine. So community decides how much it will cost to fix that bug, and they will decide who to whom this work will be given. So that doesn't change it anything. It's
Okay.
what's changed is who is going to be doing the work and how it's going to be funded. Does that make sense, Peter?
Yeah.
So the community, it's up to the community to decide whether it's worth fixing this bug or it's better to move forward. Okay, it all depends on the nature of the bug that's discovered.
Well, and also the percentage of the community that's on that older release.
Correct.
But this conversation solidifies for me why the calendar shouldn't just be dates, but should
Exactly.
articulate some of these elements. And I always wrestle with this, and what index data, what EBSCO as members of the community can say, and then what they can say as proprietary businesses, it matters both ways. We want as much transparency as possible, but we have to recognize that there's times when you can't say stuff, and it will. But your decision to withhold some information impacts the community, so it's a double-edged sword here. But as we I would love to see this straw man calendar you wrote out, Mark, because maybe
Sure.
I can add some color. I've been trying to take some notes, and Yogesh, it said it was recorded. Will you share the recording of this too, so I could maybe cherry pick some things and share with this group, privately, and then you can decide if you want it, in
This
this
is
document.
this is a foundation meeting, I think.
Oh,
So the
okay.
recording
Yeah,
will be
so it's
on
a recording will be on the
recordings.
foundation. Right.
Excellent.
If
Okay.
we can stay, 2 3 minutes longer, I can recite what I'm suggesting as the key activities for us to work on for the fiscal year 27 budget. Okay. So one would be, it's probably a month-long activity. I think we need to align on strategic themes for fiscal year 27 first. What's going to be the growth? What are the community priorities? What are the major known projects that will be used in fiscal year 27? Okay, because that determines the number of teams and the number of environments and the number of resources. And I also think we need to identify and engage key stakeholders from community council, from PC and TC to participate in that. And the best way to do it is probably do a slightly broader fiscal year 27 planning kickoff. Okay, so that once we have these stakeholders, we can align on what we think our priorities for fiscal year 27 going to be. And again, I think time-wise, that's probably going to take a month. And that will require probably a few meetings, maybe once a week, something like that. Then either in parallel or after that, I think we need to review the fiscal year 25 actuals, and we also need to look at the year-to-date spend for fiscal year 26. Okay. And then we should model initial fiscal year 27 baseline with the assumptions that are, given to us by the stakeholders. Okay. And so this way we can probably forecast version one of the budget based on the number of teams, based on the workload. Okay. Then we can go through optimization and efficiency review. This is when we need to get AWS involved, because based on our projected spend, we need to determine what reserve instances we may want to lock in ahead of time, because that will drive our cost savings. Okay. I think we should also work with Kitfox DevOps team and maybe some development teams to identify and reduce waste. Okay. That's what I was referring to. Like, there is overlap between the snapshot
Right.
environments and so on. I think we need to be very clear on what goes where. Okay. Then once we have that, and once cost optimizations are obtained, and once we update the forecast with these assumptions, we can validate this and update version two, or create version two, which we can then share with the community. So that's basically the idea. And another thing is we may want to delegate cost monitoring and cost control to each of the teams, okay, so that they're accountable and they're proactive in terms of monitoring and reviewing their costs. Because we are always 2 weeks behind, right, or even a month behind, and it may be too late in some cases. The teams are much closer to this, and they need to be more involved in the cost monitoring.
How many teams are there?
Right now, I think, well, there are 21 environments. So I think there are like 15 teams across the board, and some teams have a couple of environments. I think for fiscal year 27, the number of teams may be reduced. I don't know. That's something that we need to figure out. Okay. So that's pretty much it. And then, of course, we need to communicate the budget. One other thing that I wanted to mention was that when we look at the budget, rather than just limiting ourselves to AWS, we also need to look at some other tools. Okay. And I would highly recommend using AI tools that help with quality, that help with creating requirements, validating requirements, the tools that allow us to achieve consistency across the board. I think that will help with new teams, new developers, new participants in the community. Okay. So, and there are some costs associated with using those AI tools.
Good. So should we put this meeting in calendar for the next month and start working on some of the items, Mark, that you suggested, or how do we want to approach this? I don't mind, for the next
My preference would be have it scheduled, but I think there should be a decent lag before our next meeting, because requirement is to gather a fair amount of data. The fiscal 25 actuals, the Alexei just gave us a pretty good detail of 26, so we're okay there. But I think going back, and I'm not sure who to assign that to. I'm assuming you'll guess who to, but you probably need a few weeks to gather that data, put it into a way that you can communicate to me, who's a novice. I think I should be your sort of target audience. so I would say put a regular meeting in place, but cancel the next two so you have time to gather data. That also allow Peter and me to go to some of our council members and say, we're going to have to be identifying some people to have a special task force to really dig into the budget and think about what it's meaning. And it blends. I'm a little nervous about Mark's plan about how it, I mean, it absolutely has to tie into strategic priorities, but all of a sudden it starts to balloon. And I'm have a little bit of anxiety about that, because if we don't keep the agendas very tight, those kinds of conversations, you know, they're perennial in the community, and they always balloon so large, and then we get apoplectic, meaning we just don't act. And we don't have the luxury of that. We have to get this to an action that we can present to the treasurer in March. So we'll just have to be very cognizant that the members of this task force, we have to keep them on a leash so that we're focusing really on what the budget looks like for the remainder of this year, and then going into next fiscal, beginning of July 26. So, do you agree, Peter? Does that sound reasonable?
That sounds reasonable.
Okay, so do I need to get data for FY25? Is that what that's what I heard?
That's what I heard from Mark, that it would be really helpful to have that comparator to what's happening this fiscal year. You know, there's a couple of things in my mind. It was during fiscal 25 that the anxiety of the community about how expensive AWS costs were, that led to the governor of, you know, $30,000 a month, which was sort of artificial, but it was nice to see Alexi present that you all have been keeping it around 25, 26K. Last year when we first instituted that, it was always right around 30K. I mean, it was shockingly close to that.
It was way above than that. I mean, it was 35. I remember that. You know?
So I do think that data will be kind of instructive and helpful as we think about, because the thing that's happened and what the community is saying out loud with these various proposals that you've probably been reading is that the community is starting to realize that full throttle development is not sustainable. And then we're also accrued a fair amount of tech debt and other maintenance activities that we're going to have to fund. And so that acknowledgement is very helpful, and seeing the 25 data, just, I mean, it's just as a proxy of the overall development activities, I think will be important. So yes, that's my take, but I'm speaking for myself. Mark obviously had a plan. So
yeah, it was just, you know, a draft, a straw man, you know, because you know, the purpose of it was so that you guys rip it apart and we construct something meaningful.
Yeah, I think what I also heard is we need some decisions from community in terms of, you know, who owns what, and, you know, what support we do, and that's what drives the budget, you know. And I think that part is, you know, I don't know how we handle that. You know, do we get, you know, people in the room from product community council making some decisions here, or, you know, how does that work? I don't know. You know, it's beyond my paycheck, I guess. I think that's what will drive the budget. But what we can present is what we are, you know, doing right now, and what we're projecting in terms of where we think the ransom will ramp down, you know, where we think we'll pick up more of, you know, Trillium development, and where we pick up some of the new things that Mark talked about, which I also wanted to add today, was some of the AI tools that we have discovered. So some of the, you know, like the budget also includes, for example, funding the test rail. And Testrail also has some additional capabilities that require some additional funding, and things like that. I think I can put together some of the AI cost and other things that I see as a futuristic thing. But I, like I said, I think maybe Sean, you need to tailor this question back with community in terms of, when do we ramp down ransom? These type of things that I think we have to go to the product console and gain some understanding from it. But I don't know if I can really help with that, or maybe Sean and Peter, you can help with that. So let's continue this discussion. I think, like you said, let's put it on the agenda for next 4 weeks. We'll cancel on demand if there's nothing. But I will get some cost data for in terms of AI tools and some additional costs that I see we should be adding to this cost budget. I will, of course, work with teams to find out if there's any expansion to the teams or any new environments that they're thinking of, et cetera, as a for, forecasting cost for FY27 based on what we know. Hopefully that I can get by next week, if not the week after, for sure. So I think that we'll continue having this discussion, and let's see how it goes. Does that sound like a plan?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, thank you all for your joining. And, we went a little bit late, but, it was a very fruitful discussion today.
Peter, could you send me how I get this video once it's posted?
Are you on the AWS Cost Slack channel?
I'm in the channel, yeah.
Okay, I'll post it to the channel.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, and also I have an AI agent running. Hopefully my AI system will give you a notes. And I just need to run through it and make sure they're accurate. So I'll post those notes in the Slack channel as well.
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.